Oh, we've been talking to you about quite a number of things and getting kind of deep sometimes. Things is happening, as I said, so astoundingly until you hardly know what to say anymore. I come up here to minister to you and I could take all night long and not even get started good. As far as really getting started and what needs to be said. But as a matter of fact, I have taken all night long. More than one time in my life and still not even really get started in what needed to be said. Watch the sun come up. But things are happening in such an astounding way until if I wasn't a Christian, if I knew what I know now, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be scared half to death. That's no exaggeration. I'd literally be scared half to death. If I wasn't a Christian and understood the way that I understand as to what all this has to do with. You know, you can do a lot of things. You can have wealth or you can have fame or you can have popularity. You can do whatever you want to. But you're only a few steps away from the flames of a burning lake of fire. The Bible said, and these were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. And now humanity is right at the gateway of this thing. Been told about it for many, many hundreds of years. But now they're right on the brink of eternity. I had a vision one time, I related it to you, some of you, how that the Lord picked me up from a certain area where I was standing and took me over the lake of fire. He picked me up and I was flying through the air at high speed and it was getting darker and darker as I moved toward this area. And something made me to know that I was going to hell. And I said within myself, oh my God, I'm going to hell. And I was moving as fast as I could go toward the fire and I couldn't stop. And he took me right out over it. I suddenly saw it come into view. And as I saw it come into view, I moved out over it. And I suddenly realized I was going out over the lake of fire. And it was one of the most horrible feelings I have ever had in my life. And I knew that any moment, I just felt that any moment he was going to drop me into the flame. But somehow he didn't. He took me over it, and then it went away, and he never did put me in hell. But I tell you what, it made me do a lot of thinking, a lot of thinking. There was a brother testifying here the other day how that God took him down to the pit. And he had fell into the pit and was hanging on the side. And something, some horrible monster-like thing, it wrapped itself around him like a tentacle from an octopus. And was pulling with all of its might. And he said he barely could hold on. And about the time that he was losing his grip, said he kept calling, Jesus, Jesus. And said a ladder was let down. Just before he lost his grip, he said, but as to the coming of this ladder, said a voice said to him, you know, that he had done wrong and began to remind him of his sins and how he wouldn't listen. And he said he barely grabbed hold of the round of the ladder just before this thing happened. And the vision went away. I know for sure, knowing that boy's life and knowing what he's done and the Lord dealing with him, he had been a very, very religious person, even a preacher. But he wouldn't listen. The one thing he wouldn't do was listen. Though he was a devout person, a devout preacher. But he just wouldn't listen. And I spoke of some things that was going to happen to him, and it did happen to him. And after that it happened, he got real bitter. And almost lost out with God. We went and talked with him and prayed with him, and he began to regain his balance. You know, it pays to go to the house of the Lord. Your life is real short. Solomon said it's like a vapor. It appears for a while and then just vanishes away. Swifter than a shuttle. And it really pays to follow the Lord. I'd like to mention one or two things here that you're already acquainted with. They're already happening. And just bring them back to your remembrance to comment on them. I want to read some scripture first. I've read this scripture before, but I want to read it again. In the 17th chapter of the book of St. Luke, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, the 20th verse, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part unto heaven shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, whithersoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Here in this writing, God reminds us of Sodom, the place where the fire and the brimstone fell. And I've been right there and looked at that spot, my wife and I. We've stood right there at that place and looked at it over across the ocean there at the Holy Land. Been right where this fire and brimstone fell on those people. And the Lord refers back to this as having a typical meaning as to the coming of the Lord. And he says that it has to do with the days of Noah. He speaks in one place saying that this is as the waters of Noah to me. And here he speaks of it as likening that time to the days of Noah. He said, for they did eat, and they did drink, and they bought, and they sold, they planted, and they builded. Which is the very thing, you know, that human beings do and that we're doing today. That it's no different. What he was saying was that there isn't going to be any outstanding change of anything that you're going to be able to see to detect that he's fixing to come upon you. For as a thief in the night shall it come upon them that dwell on the earth. The Bible said they shall be unaware of his coming. And they'll just be eating and drinking. Now like today, all day long they've eaten and drank. The cafes has been filled up. And they've just eaten, they've just drank and went right on with their daily routine. And today they've built it and they've painted and they have done everything that he made mention of today. They've planted, they've set out trees, and they've done all these things this very day. See, it'll be like that. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. Now, we would say, well, what does he mean by that, Brother Pike? The very day that he went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. Lot was symbolic of the church and the catching away of the church, the people of God. And it means that the very day that they leave, that very day, comes fire and brimstone. So, it says here, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. All right. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, there was one thing that was outstanding, and that is that all flesh, the Bible tells us that all flesh had corrupted its way before God. The similarity of the days of Noah is right now. And that is, the significance is that all flesh today hath corrupted its way before God. And I'd like to comment just a little bit there before I try to get into any message here. I just want to talk to you a little bit anyway, because I've been trying to bring in some of the deep things of God, some of the mysteries of God. You know, I know this don't sound right. I know it don't. But the average individual that is a church member, the average person that is a Christian, as we would say, doesn't know anything about the mysteries of God. Thank you. You can be a Christian and still not know anything about the mysteries of God. And the average Christian, as a babe in Christ, doesn't know anything about the mysteries of God. I talked to three this last trip. And these boys are very fine people. They're very intelligent. They're Bible scholars. And they know nothing of the mysteries of God. We talked with them for hours. And they are so positive that they are thoroughly furnished, filled up to the top, and ready to go over. You know? And they came down here, one of them especially, to challenge me. You know? And I felt real sorry for the one that was wanting the challenge, because he was a little fellow that hadn't even got out of his diapers. But nevertheless, I tried not to hurt him and I tried not to offend him. The Bible speaks of desiring the sincere milk of the word. And the little fellow, just being a novice, you know, the Bible speaks of being a novice, being lifted up in pride. He was lifted up, you know, like, you know how a little fella is, you know. What's that little saying that God, iron and steel, this and don't, this and will, you know. And he come in that kind of spirit, you know. So I sat there and I marveled. I looked at him and I marveled. And I still do. As I look at people, I marvel to think that they are in such a childish condition. After many years of tutoring, some of them are still but little bitty babes. Paul spoke of this in one place. He said, wherein ye ought to be teachers. He said, ye have need that ye be taught. Can you imagine the man, God's man, standing up preaching to the people? And he said, look, folks, I preach to you. And all this time, he said, after teaching you, you ought to be teachers by now. He said, but you still, you know, you haven't paid any attention. You haven't listened. You haven't advanced. You haven't really got down to business with God. And wherein ye ought to be teachers, he said, you still have need that you be taught, which is the very beginning of the things of God. So exhorted them to desire the sincere milk of the word, that they might grow thereby. See, but he said something about meat. And he said the meat is to the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. All right, anyway, this is the condition that we're in. The days of Noah, the flesh is, it's corrupted itself. I got a lot of articles today. Brother James Isaac brought me quite a number of articles. Different ones has told me what they've seen on TV and brought me articles and radio reports on this Jim Baker thing. The thing that has happened to Jim Baker. Jim has all of a sudden confessed an adulterous thing. And the papers, they're really riding it high. And Jim declares that Jimmy Swaggart has had planned to blackmail him with this thing or bring it out in such a way that he was going to force him out and take over PTL. And then there's another man on WLAC, Nashville. And I understand he declared that Jimmy Swaggart has tried to take his ministry, that he's also committed fornication, and that Jimmy was going to use this over his head and take his ministry. And that he's got in a suit for $90 million against him, I understand. And then some lawyer says that he has a paper that's written by Jimmy Swaggart's hands, and in that Jimmy's doing this thing, they use the terms that they was going through Jimmy's closet and search out the dirty clothes, and they felt like they'd find more in his closet than he'd found in the others. So this is the general theme of what's going on. They've got Jerry Falwell in it, and Jerry, he don't know what he wants to do with PTL. They've turned it over to Jerry. It looks like that Jimmy has done this to keep the other Jimmy from taking it. And, of course, Jim Baker and Jim Swaggart, I understand both are in the Assemblies of God or affiliates with the Assemblies of God. There's going to work something through there or whatever. That's the way it appears. Now, I understand this man that's got in the suit that's $90 million that he's also in the Assemblies of God. Whether these things are true or not, I don't know. I'm just giving you the report that I got. They say, I know some of it is to the extent that I've got the newspaper clippings about some of the things that's being said, the accusations and Oral Roberts. They've put out a little dollar bill thing with Oral's picture in the middle of it, and they've made a real comic out of it, you know, and mocked him. And I got the pictures today where the man gave $1,300,000 and Oral got his $8 million 8 days early, I believe, after going to the prayer tower. But anyway, this is what the papers seem to say. And I think the man said Oral needed to see a psychiatrist, but he was going to give him $1,300,000 because he believed in education. He said, I'm a $75 million man, and I just think what I could do if I had education. You know, so he gives him $1 million. Well, anyway, this is the thing that's going on. It's such a conglomeration of a mess. And all flesh having corrupted its way before God, as it was in the days of Noah. So, now then, Jerry, he's involved in it. And to understand that Mr. Humbart is also involved in it. They brought out Mr. Humbart here a few days ago as being connected with it some way as to Mr. Fowler's plans. And then, there's a number of others that has got involved in it. And it's just a conglomeration. I tell you, it's a terrible situation. Somebody interviewed somebody with the papers and asked them what they thought. And they said, well, I'll tell you, it's really something. A man sitting in a prayer tower saying if God's going to kill him if he don't get some money. And the other fellow, you know, he's saying the things he's saying and about Jim Swaggart trying to steal the PTL. And it's just, and there's so many of them. It looks like that just every one of them is just, you know, everywhere. Well, the things that I say sometimes don't set too well. But I say them anyway. The Bible said rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I say them anyway. Some folks just don't like it, but I still say them anyway. When Stephen said what he said, they didn't like it. They stoned him to death because they didn't like what he said. Always been that way with the preacher or the prophets of God. But about 7 years back, we had set up a tent over in the Carolinas. And I just have to talk to you a minute or two here to express what I'm saying. We'd set up a tent over in the Carolinas, the tent 120 by 60, our white tent, three-pole tent there. And we were having a real outstanding meeting in a full house. And I made the statement that God was going to bring Jim Baker down because things wasn't right with Jim and that it was corruption. And the whole thing, I explained what the whole thing was leading up to as to the adulterous side of life. And somebody went away and made the statement. They kind of laughed about it and said, Brother Pike can say what he wants to, but Jim Baker's too big. God will never bring Jim Baker down. But nevertheless, God did. And not only did God do it, but when we discussed the thing, I said, if you'll check back, you'll find out it was about the time that I made the statement that this thing happened. And sure enough, somebody decided they were going to check the records, and when they checked it back, they said as far as they could tell, it was just before his fall that we made this statement at that thing about 7 years ago. Well, whatever it is, it happened. So I said that to say this. We have been tutoring you as of late concerning time being no more. We sang that song, and time shall be no more. And we've been talking to you about this, and like our brother Jim Kirk said, we have taught you in years gone by about the fall of the different ones. And we spoke about the fall of Mr. Armstrong. And you know how immediately he and his son split up. And he got involved with this young woman, married this young woman, and then his son got involved with a woman according to the report. And then we spoke. They never had had any problem like that before in the history of their ministry. They'd spread it out all over the world, and there was only, according to the map, I looked at it, only a few little places in the entire world where his ministry had not gone to as to the plain truth. But anyway, it came down. And then we spoke of Oral Roberts, how that he would fall away in his old age. And we told how he would fall away in his old age. And sure enough, it came to pass. And that how the calamities would begin to befall him, and they did. And then we spoke of the different ones, of the things that would happen as to Brother Branham and his death, and that how that we had seen his death and immediately it happened. We spoke of Brother Jack Coe, and we spoke in general of many people, things as to that that would happen. And then we pinpointed some things, you know, and we made the statement that by 70, all of the lights concerning the ministry would be on their way out. They would be well on their way out. And there wouldn't be anything left except the dawning of the day star and the coming of the day star and the revelation of the Son of God, that all of it would be tarnished, all of it would be spotted. And that would be all that would be left. For the Bible said in that day, no man shall be exalted, but he alone, even the Lord Jesus Christ. In that hour, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord is denoted about the time of Paul the Apostle at the beginning of the church ages by Paul receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then it was to go through the church ages and move on down to the end of the church ages, and then the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is his coming, was to appear again. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven. We brought something out on this a few days back. We didn't get to finish it, but years ago we preached a message over in the Carolinas called The Sign of the Son of Man. We also brought out things concerning Brother Branham as to what it had to do with. Well, right at this time we've been preaching to you these things. From 70, things begin to happen. Brother Branham dropped out in 66, and then right on over, different things happen as to Martin Luther King as a preacher, and right on over, things begin to happen. Brother Jack Coe, if you remember, went out, and then Brother Osborne, he began to draw back from the thing that Brother Branham had been teaching, and he began to. Now then his wife has become Dr. Daisy, and she's preaching. And then Brother Oral Roberts, we'd gone by Oral's place, and we'd gone by T.L. Osborne's place, and I spoke to my wife. Well, Betty was with me. She saw some things for herself. But anyway, we spoke about these things and how that they were ready to come down. And you remember the great calamity, how it befell Brother Osborne about that time, and the things were tore up there. But anyway, on and on and on these things went until we've come on down to our day. And right at this point, we had spoke of the end of the world and time being no more. And whereas Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, and said, I am made a steward of the mysteries, we referred to this as Revelation 10 and 7 as to the finishing of the mysteries and what would happen. And so then it come on down to our time, and the lights have been dropping out, going out one right after another. You know, people mocked me, some of the brethren, they made a joke out of it and all these things, but now they're having to sit and listen, they're having to sit and look right straight at it and know that it was a devil in them that made them do it, and they are having to swallow down because of their sufferings and their heartaches of making mock of it and thinking too highly of themselves. But anyway, it's come to pass right on down, and do you know how that the 11 Alive and the newspapers of Atlanta, the Journal, the Constitution, the newspapers in Kentucky, you know, all over the place, the newspapers at the colleges and TV stations, everything pounced on us. You remember how they just pounced on us and tried to eat us alive, as we say. The Bible said, who is this that eateth up my people like bread? And they pounced on us and just tried to eat us alive. So I just kind of said that there because when I said that, you know, as a lady, like, you know, things move over the audience. Somebody say, my, at the terms he used, just trying to eat us up. So I thought I'd drop in a little scripture. Said, who is this that eateth my people like bread? And it slapped her right in the face, and she was, you know. So anyway, I say a lot of things, and I don't always bring out the scripture on it, but you're supposed to be a scholar. So I do that to stop the mouth of the gainsayer. They're always mocking me in their spirit. So here the lights are going out. These things are happening just exactly like we said, and yet some folks are still mocking. Others that have not yet felt the lash of the whip, they're still mocking. But the reason they're mocking is because they have lost out with God, and they're blind, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. And there's something on the inside of them that is mocking. And at the end time they were to do that, the betrayal was to come. The spirit of Satan went into Judas at the end time, right there before Jesus' departure. And Satan went into Judas and he went out into the darkness. See, and it was said concerning the two children that always the bond child mocks the free child. Always. See, there is a mocking spirit that has the hold of the world, and a mocking spirit that has the hold of hundreds and millions of religious people, and they mock the ministry, and they mock the things of God. Like David, when the Lord spoke to David, and David took his sling, and he started over there to fight the giant. These brothers begin to mock him, and they begin to say all manner of things against him. Who do you think you are? Here we are, big boys with swords, you know. People that have a name in the world that they say that they live and they're dead. Denominational powers, you know, with their sword in their hand saying, we're the big boys. If we can't handle it, who do you think you are? You know, a little old fella from the back hills over there. But nevertheless, David just quietly, calmly went on out there. And instead of running out with a sword, instead of running out with a big title, instead of doing that, he just went out with his little slingshot. The Bible said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. He'd been out on the hillside and he just had his little old slingshot. And he had proved that thing and proved his courage. And he just run out there and spun it around a few times and said, you come to me with your sword and all of your bellowing and whatever, you know. I forget the words David used. But anyway, he just kind of mocked at the giant, and then he dropped that little old rock right into his head, and down he went like that. Took his own sword and cut his head off. See, that is to say, David stood up against the powers of opposition, the mocking powers of opposition. The boys, his brothers, mocked him when he started out there to do something about it, to free Israel. And not only that, but the giant stood on the hillside, just kept standing there day and night, bellowing out against Israel. Who can fight against me? He kept saying. Who can stand against me? And then out of the shadows, out of a place on the hillside, came a little boy twirling a little slingshot. You know, that's all it takes is a little sling of faith and the Word of God slip down on the inside and a little courage, and you can overcome the opposition. Well, anyway, that's what I was saying. Here you see a lot of people mocking, still sitting in your congregation mocking. Wherever you go, they mock. They get up and walk out. If you say something they don't like, if you hit just any little thing that runs across their mind or cuts across their way of life or their lifestyle, they throw it out. They don't have that. They won't have any of that, you know. They're arrogant, and they're haughty, and they're lifted up. They've got a mocking spirit, a mocking attitude. But that's because they are the bonds child. And it was said that the bonds child shall not be heir with the free child or with my child. God isn't going to make him heir with the free child. Well, this is what we got today, folks. Believe it or not, look around you, and this is exactly what we got. I've been speaking to you about the end of time or about the last days and time being no more. And I know that when we get into that, a lot of times some of you don't understand what I mean, time should be no more, or you don't understand what I mean when I go to detail things as to the world passing away or the end of the world. I remind you again, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, we take these things as just a statement. We say, well, the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away. So what? You know, but that isn't the way it is. The Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away. And when Jesus said it shall pass away, that means it's got to fall. It's got to pass away. And the writer later makes the statement, said in heaven, just passed away. All of the heavens and these things with a great noise it passed away. There's going to be a great noise like the bursting of the bombs and all of these things as to the atomic powers. And with a great noise, the heavens passed away. And the Bible speaks of the coming of the Lord there at the end of the 1,000 years millennium. And it said then the heavens fled away. And it said the earth fled away. And the mountains fled away. And the seas fled away. And said there wasn't any place found for these things as the great Ancient of Days appeared on the scene. See, this is what's happening right now. It must happen in the spiritual place of life. For those that are spiritual Jews. And it must happen in a natural way for those that are natural Jews. We're spiritual Jews. So then spiritual things are happening. Spiritual climax. Spiritual grand finales are taking place. Because it is in the spirit that these things take place before the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus, when the day shall burn as an oven. So then we see these things taking place. We know that they're taking place. Now, when I say that, you that are spiritual, you can see these things. For the Bible said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And the Bible tells us that the coming of the Lord shall not be as a thief in the night to you and I. For the Bible said, we shall know when it's nigh even at the door. For as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. For Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world, the Bible said that Satan has blinded the eyes of the people that they should not see when good cometh. That is, he's blinded the eyes of their understanding and they can't see it. So as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. But he said to you and I, it shall not be a snare unto you. For you're not children of darkness, but of light. I'm not a child of intellectual darkness, of intellectual reasoning. I'm a child of light, which means understanding of God's program and God's plan. And the Bible said, ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. So I know that it's near, even at the door. He said that I would know. I would know. He said, you will know when it's nigh, even at the door. Folks, I can tell you that I know it's nigh, even at the door. And so then, like I was telling some of the brethren today, see, this is the end of the world. Peter said in his day, said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so then, that was the end of the world. That was the end of time. See, and the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And this Son was made under the law, and this Son was made of a woman. And in the fullness of time, he sent him forth, which means Calvary was the fullness of time. That was the fullness of time. See, Calvary was the fullness of time. I'm not waiting for the end of the world. I'm not waiting for the fullness of time. For Calvary was the fullness of time. And there at that time, Peter said, this is the end of the world. You're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then from that time, God wrought this thing in Christ. The Bible said it was given to me in Christ before the world ever was, and then brought to light at Calvary. So then this thing that God gave me before I was ever born, he wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He made me a son of God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, and everyone's names who were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible said they were cast into the lake of fire. So then, the Lamb says, and those written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. See, God slaying the Lamb in his foreknowledge before the foundation of the world, in his blood he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So today I'm free. Paul come preaching, and in his day he preached his message and said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life before of old ordained unto eternal life, these believed when he preached. The rest of them did not believe. So then through the predestination of God, through the foreknowledge of God, being elect according to the foreknowledge of God, I stand here tonight and I'm justified, sanctified, perfected forever, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, chosen out of this world, and the world ended for me at Calvary. And the Bible said I'm dead to the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world is dead to me. I'm dead to the world. Both ways, I'm dead to the world, the world is dead to me, all but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the world is dead to me. It's no more. It's gone. When a person's dead, you put them in the ground. They're buried. They're gone. So the world is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I stand here tonight, separated from the world. I'm not in the world. For the Bible said God has chosen me out of the world and has hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring, all the restoration of all things, bringing in the millennium. So then I'm not of the world, I'm not in the world. God has chosen me out of the world and hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So tonight I'm standing in heaven. Christ could so boldly say, I'm still in heaven. I'm still in heaven. He had been in heaven. He'd never come out of heaven. He was in heaven when he talked to Nicodemus. So boldly Christ made that statement. And Nicodemus, standing before Jesus, didn't know what to answer him. He didn't know what to say. Because there he was, a man standing there, and he was looking at another man that was standing there, and Nicodemus knew that he wasn't in heaven. And here Jesus was, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, he proved it. He walked up on the mountain. He appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah. He walked up there and his raiment began to glisten. And there he was in heaven, or there he was in glory, and proved just exactly what he said to Nicodemus, that he was in heaven. He was in heaven. So I said that to say this. I have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men have pressed their way into the kingdom of God. I'm not up here by myself either. I'm not up here by myself either. Moses and Elijah, they're here too. See, I'm not up here by myself. So then I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and ever since Calvary, I've been dead to the world, and the world has been dead to me, and I'm alive in God. This was given to me in Christ before the world ever was. And when the veil was rent and the door was open at Calvary, it was brought to light, and through the church ages, down through the church ages, it has been preached by the church age ministry or ministers and all of those that spread the flame of fire throughout the world. So from that time on, men have pressed their way into the kingdom. The law and the prophets were until John. And folks, after that, the whole thing changed around. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the law and the prophets were until John? Because if that's right, then if that ended the prophets, then Brother William Branham could not have been a prophet. So is that what you mean? Because I boldly say that there is no law. The law and the prophets were until John. And now there is no law. So then there would be no prophets, as one would say. So then Brother Branham couldn't be a prophet. But see, that's not what we're saying. In the New Testament, prophets are found. The Bible speaks of Agabus and speaks of some of the others, and how the prophets were in the fivefold ministry. Evangelists, the Bible said, teachers, evangelists, pastors, prophets, all these things were found in the fivefold ministry. So then when I say Calvary and all of this done away with at Calvary, what am I saying? I'm saying that there is no law. There is no law. It's gone forever. It's taken away. There is no such thing as the law anymore. All these people that talk about the Ten Commandments and keeping the law, the Bible said they're heretics. They don't know what they're talking about. It's just a lot of foolishness with them. No man keeps the law. And the Bible said, no flesh shall be justified by the law. And Paul said, ye have the law and none of you keep it. So then there's only been one man that's ever truthfully been blameless as touching the law. Now Paul said, I'm blameless as touching the law. And said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. Speaking of being blameless touching the law, it is a true fact that Paul was blameless as touching the law. As to the ritualistics and his ability to do whatever he thought, every man's ways being right in his own eyes. But he was only blameless as touching the law by the Holy Spirit and by the body of Jesus Christ and what the Lord had done for Paul. For only one man was ever really genuinely blameless as touching the law, and that was Jesus Christ. And even he could not be justified by the law, because the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and caught up into heaven. So then he alone, being our example, had to be justified by the Spirit. Though he kept every jot and tittle of the law, he could not be justified by the law. So I said that to say this and try to clarify a point or two here. Is the law gone? The law is gone. There is no law. It's gone. But it's only gone to the believer. It's only gone to me. It's only gone to you that are true children of God that's been born to the Spirit. And the reason that it's gone is because the law is in the world. And the law it's for them that are in the world, because the Bible said the law is for the ungodly. So then the law is still here. The Bible says that they that have fallen from grace are under the law. And you that are not born again, you don't have the Spirit of God and you don't have the grace of God, which means that you're under the law. You're still in this world and you're still in the flesh. And the Bible said that if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. For they that are in the flesh walk after the flesh. They love the things of the world. And the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. If you're in the flesh, it means you're in the mind of the man of the first birth. You're in Adam's mind, and you're infiltrated with the powers and evils of Lucifer's spirit. And you love the things of the world, because when the Lord rebuked Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest, which means loveth or careth for, the things of this world. You want a nice home. You want nice furniture. You want a nice automobile. You want a good name uptown. You want to be called as, you know, spoken of as a person having a fine name, that's got good credit reference, that pays their bills, that all these kind of things, you've got a little money on the side, you've got a little money in the bank, you know you're uptown, as someone would say. This is your feeling, this is your desire. You love to eat, you love to drink, you love to buy, you love to go, you love to visit with relatives, you love to gossip, you love to backbite, you love to do the things of the world. All of these things, you love to sit around and drink in those non-virtuous things on TV. You love to read magazines, you love to keep up with the sports page when it comes to those things. That's of the world. See, because you are of the world. You are a bonds child. You're under bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. And you can't get out from under that mind of Lucifer. You may be just as religious as Cain is. See, just as religious as Cain, but that doesn't mean that you have a thing. You might be just like Cain, and you might be religious, but that doesn't mean that you've got salvation. You might be a believer. You might be a regular attender going to church. You might have your name on a church book. But that doesn't mean that you have anything. And so then when we speak of these things, we say that the law is still here. You've fallen from grace. You are under the law and you'll be judged as a transgressor of the law. Because the Bible said that transgression of the law is sin. And they that have fallen from grace are under the law. And transgression of the law is sin. And the Bible said the sting of sin is death. He that sinneth, he shall die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then you're under the law and you're in the world and you're in the flesh. And you're in the mind that is the mind of the flesh. But them that are born again, there is no law to them. For the Bible said God has folded up the law at Calvary, laid it away, and there is no more law to you and I. It is not possible for you nor me to transgress the law. We cannot transgress the law. The reason is because we're dead to the law. There is no transgression of the law with you and I because we are dead to the law. The man that's dead, that's buried out in the grave, he cannot transgress the law because he is dead to the law. So then the laws of God to you and I, it's the same way. I am dead to the things of the law. I cannot transgress the law because I am dead to the law. The law has been folded up. It's been laid away. Every jot and tittle has been fulfilled. And the Lord Jesus Christ has taken away the law. And he has caused me to be dead to the law by my body. My body is dead to the law. I brought this out last night talking to some of the boys about the rent veil. I brought it out here. I don't have time to go into those things concerning the rent veil. But I showed how that by the rent veil we are dead to the world. And so then I'm dead to the law. I am buried with him in baptism. I'm dead to the law. I never have to worry again about sinning because I can't transgress the law. Transgression of the law is sin, and he that sinneth, the Bible said that soul shall surely die. But I am not any longer a living soul subject to the transgressions of the law. For the Bible said the first man Adam was made a living soul, but the second man Adam was made a quickening spirit. And I'm now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and I've now passed from death unto life. I'm already in the kingdom of God. And if I'm in the kingdom of God, then I am in the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. And I read to you here, Jesus said, this kingdom cometh not by observation. The Jews missed it because they kept looking for something to happen. Some great calamity, some great thing. And then they thought, here comes the kingdom of God. And they never did see it. All of a sudden a little babe was born in a manger. And there was the kingdom of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds on the hillside and said, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. And to you a Savior's born. And said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And so then there was the kingdom of God. They missed it. Christ humbled himself to make sure his friend. He come as a poor little child so he could feel around and find out who cared for him. For the Bible said, he that hath money, he that hath wealth, he that hath those kind of things hath many friends. So he wanted, before he comes on the white horse in the book of Revelation, as the set of his kingdom, he wanted to make sure his friends, so that when all of the world began to come to him, he could reject every one of them except his friends. so he could reject them all and take his friends. So then we see that I and everyone that believes God, everyone that is a true born-again believer, they are in the kingdom of God, and they are already in heaven, and they have already passed from death unto life and can never come into condemnation. Well, I remind you again, the Bible said, and God looked down from heaven, and God heard the groaning of the prisoners and them that was appointed unto death. See, we have been appointed unto death. And the Bible said within our bodies we have the sentence of death. Because within our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present. But how to perform that which is good, I cannot find. Inwardly I have a will to perform. Outwardly I cannot find the performance. And so then God has accepted the inward part as Christ, translated into the kingdom of God, the man that's without spot and blemish, keeping himself that the evil one toucheth him not. God has accepted him, having translated him into that wonderful Christ Spirit, sealed him by the Christ Spirit, and then God has taken the body of Jesus, and he hath made a human body to be sin, smote that human body, done away with the body, done away with sin, and has taken my spirit, and in his foreknowledge, and in his understanding of looking out yonder and seeing the future, he hath placed my spirit within that body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of the performances of good works and righteousness and the things of God he hath accredited to me. And everything he wanted me to be, he made Jesus to be that. And then he made Jesus to take my body of sin and failure, and he put it on Calvary, and the Christ smote it. We esteemed him smitten of the Father. He was delivered for my offenses, and he was raised again for my justification. So God took my body, gave it to Jesus, put it up there, and he that knew no sin was made my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so then today I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And when God sees me, he doesn't see any of my faults. He doesn't see any of my failures. He doesn't see anything that's wrong with me. See, God does that. Look at the beautiful story of Ruth and Alpha. Look at the beautiful story of Ruth and Alpha. How that Ruth was ready to go right on. Isn't that right? Ready to cross the, we would say in our day, the old carnal mind of human reasoning. That death. The Bible said to be carnally minded, it is death. And look at how that she was willing to do that. See, going over the Jordan, as we say, staying right with Naomi, staying right there. See, walking with faith, staying with faith, taking the promises. The woman said, I have nothing to offer you, not anything at all. I have nothing to offer you. But nevertheless, Ruth said, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to stay right with you. I'll take it by promise. She said, there is something. If you and I can ever make it back to the land of my kindred, said, we'll be all right. I've got some rich folks. So it was that that's what happened. See, and one said, I'm sorry. Said, I've got to go back to my kindred. See, I can't go on with you. The Bible said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, Abraham, and I'll make a great nation out of it. I can't do that. See, I can't do that, this woman was saying. I've got relatives back yonder, and all my riches is down yonder, and everything I ever had is back there with my relatives. I've got to go back there, see. I can't get out of the flesh, someone would say. I just love to eat and drink and ball game around, you know. I just can't get out of it. I just can't get out of it. Bless God, I'll just have to go this way, you know. Like some of them said, we can't go over the Jordan. We've got our inheritance on this side. A lot of people have such deep roots in becoming businessmen and becoming such great scholars of understanding and all of these things, that all of their treasures are in the world. And the Bible said, wherever your treasures is, that's where your heart will be also. That's why God commands us to lay our treasures up in heaven. And you know what? God, one of the things that God does, he allows us to be poor most of the time. Most of the time, so that we don't get our mind on the riches of the world. So that our treasures can be in heaven. God does that. And God says, come on, give me what you've got. Give me what you've got. Somebody said, bless God, I got my eyes on him. There it is, I knew. Knew it was coming, there it is. So you got it.
You got what you come for.
Like the little song I wrote one time said, you're going to find just what you look for. Amen. So then, God says, give it to me, little widow. Little widow, take all that you've got and give to me. Oh, but my son, don't worry about that. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. A lot of preachers are just that gullible, you know. The only difference between them and God, they'll say, bless God, give it to me. Give it to me. But the difference is God gave back and they don't give back. That's the difference. God said, just give it to me. And so it was that she trusted him. So it was that Ruth trusted Naomi. The words, by faith, she went and became fabulously rich. Today she's a memorial when you speak of her. See, it's a memorial unto God, her name. And out of that lineage came David, the great king. So when we speak of these things, we see how great and mighty God is. A lot of times, he suffers that. He suffers people to be in poverty. You and I have to take it by faith. We have to walk on with God by faith. We've got to have faith in God, and God will help us to reach this place that he's wanting us to reach. I said those things to say this, that a lot of people that come to Bethlehem or come to this message, even whether it's at the church or even if it's here at the campground, where we talk to them, or they come to this message under the tent somewhere, or they come to the auditorium, to wherever we might be, a lot of them are offas and roofs, and one will be a Ruth, and one will be an offa. And one of them will go right on with God and give their whole heart, like the early church. Everything they've got, their spirit, their soul, their mind, their strength, to love God with all of their heart, all of their mind, and all of their strength. And go right on. And the other will turn away and gossip and backbite and tear down and find fault because they're so afraid that they're going to have to give up their worldly routine and the things that they do in the world. The others grumble and find fault. Blast you. See, God knows which is the bonds child, the mocking child. He knows which is the free child. And speaking of this time of life, that these things are beginning to come around is to show who is already in the kingdom of God, who is not in the kingdom of God. And showing that this is the end of the world and that this is the fullness of time. Coming around to this place to show that we are in heaven, already caught up into heaven. Already having been translated into the kingdom of God. Already passed from death unto life. God is showing this great act of faith. And these people that have walked with him by faith all these years. And so then God is bringing it around. Though the law continues for them that are without. Though the law continues for them that have fallen from grace. Yet for you and I there's no transgression. There's no sin. There's no death. There's no condemnation. We're not in the flesh, we are in the spirit. They are not in the spirit, but they are in the flesh. And the Bible said they that are in the mind of the flesh cannot please God. So the rent veil is that my body is buried with Christ. In baptism in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I've been buried with the Lord. And my spirit went away with God who gave it. He chose me out of this world, hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the coming of the body of the Lord Jesus when it's taken off of the seat of atonement or the blood-dipped body that will come back in Revelation 19. We coming back with him on the white horses. So then we see that we are alive forevermore. The appointment to death was because of the infiltration. Our appointment unto death. We became prisoners, shut up under the law, under the faith of Jesus Christ, that which was to justify us in the time to come, the bar mitzvah. So then we see that God appointed death unto man. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so it was that when Jesus came, the fullness of time was there. What do we mean, the fullness of time? The time appointed. As to the time appointed, that is to say, if God had appointed man unto death, and then God had set a time when he was going to succor man, to hear man, or a day accepted, the Bible said, and in a day accepted, God heard, and God looked down and heard the groaning of the prisoners, those that were under the law, Daniel, thou shalt rest in thy lot, those without us not being able to be made perfect, and now we've come to the place of perfection. Or the offering up of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, for God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus on the tree. So then now we've come to the bar mitzvah, we've come to the time of the sanctifying, and here Jesus said, the faith that I have, Paul, turn these people to me, turn them away from darkness, turn them to me, Paul, those that are sanctified by the faith which is in me. So we come to the day of the perfection, and they without us could not be made perfect, and now comes the beautiful day. Joel spoke of the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh, the sons and daughters prophesying, the young men seeing visions, the old men dreaming dreams, and in that day he said, and I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I will pour out of my Spirit upon your handmaidens. So then we see that at the coming of the time, the fullness of time, God having made a promise to Abraham, saying, I will bless thee, and in thy seed, even Isaac, which pointed to Christ, shall all nations be blessed. All of the nations today have the blessings of God upon them. The rain even upon the unjust, because the blood is on the seat of atonement. So then we see this thing, we see the rain of God coming down, we see people getting healed in the miraculous through the tents and the ministries, and we see people getting healed by medical science. We see people that can have pains deadened or nulled to where they can go to dentists and different things. We see the pouring out of the Spirit of God, or we see heaven has come in. We see a second heaven where Lucifer himself is, and where the members of the body of the serpent is. Those that are on their belly is in this second heaven. They're in this second heaven. They're here. They've got medical aid. They're in this realm. You know, and after a while, the blood is going to be taken off of the seat of atonement. After a while, the grace of God is going to be gone. And after a while, they're not going to have the rain upon the unjust. And after a while, they're going to gnaw their tongues for pain. And their understanding is going to be darkened to where they don't have any human reasoning as to good common sense. And the Bible said God is going to pour out his wrath upon the seed of the beast, which means the people of the world. Well, they're beasts, and some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. I brought that out in the book of Revelation. He's going to pour out his wrath upon them, and their tongues, they're going to gnaw their tongues for pain, and they're going to look for light, and everything is going to be gross darkness. For the Bible said, in gross darkness shall cover the people, and the Bible said they're going to throw their money to the bats, their gold and silver. They're going to throw it to the bats, and they're going to scream for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. So then the day, they cried out, the day of the Lord is come. That great and mighty day of the Lord is here. And the Bible said they looked up into heaven, and there appeared the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And all of the tribes of the earth begin to mourn. So then we come to the hour where all of the tribes of the earth are getting ready to mourn now. Germany, America, all of them, everybody's getting ready to mourn. So when we look at this, he heard the groaning of the prisoners. He loosed them that was appointed unto death. Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, preached to the souls that were in prison. The great hour had come. The great moment had come. That great finale was now here. And the Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law, sent forth in the fullness of time. Now was the fullness of time. This was the hour of perfection. This was the time of sanctification. This was the time that Daniel spoke of. Now had come the time of the end. Now had come that time when he was going to make an end of sin. He was going to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle, going to fold it up, take it out of the way. There'd never be any more transgression of the law, which means there'd never be any more sin. That would be the end of sin. And since that was the end of sin, then there'd be no more death. We would pass from death unto life, because there'd be no more death, because there could be no more sin. And we would press our way into the marvelous kingdom of God. And so then when the Jews saw it, they failed to understand, because Lucifer had darkened their understanding, or the prince of this world had blinded their eyes of understanding because of their lust of the flesh and the desire for the things of the world, and being the child of bondage to the beggarly elements of the earth, they had their eyes blinded and could not see when Jesus came. And they come and they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And he said, it's not given to you to know that. See, and he said, besides that, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, my kingdom will never come by you looking for it. I said the other day, Paul just got a little glimpse of that light and went blind. With these little old eye nerves of yours, you couldn't possibly see the kingdom of God. There's no way but the eyes of your understanding, the Bible said, being enlightened, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this. So then the kingdom of God is within you. Christ is the kingdom of God. The Word, which is Christ, is the kingdom of God. And that faith by that Word. And the Bible said, and by that faith your heart is purified. And the seed of God, which is Christ the Word, remaineth in you. And you cannot sin because you are born of God. It does not say, as I say so often, that you may not sin. It says, because you are born of God, you cannot sin. God made an end of sin. He put it on the other side of Calvary and put you on this side of Calvary. And though the transitional changes of the world goes on as from Genesis all the way over to the book of Revelation as of the tribulation, yet while this transitional thing is going on, you and I, it's another thing altogether. We're leaving on this side of Calvary and we're going up into the heavens on the other side of Calvary, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. By God killing our sinful body, and the Bible said at death, our spirit went back to God who gave it, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And then God, having by His foreknowledge, looking out there at the end of the way, all of His works known unto Him from the beginning, He gave me the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my spirit is now, as Paul said, comparing it to the man and wife, is married to another. I am now free from the old Adam of the first body by the washing of the regeneration of the Word, going through the baptism in Christ, going into hell for me. And I'm on the other side, and my spirit has been loose from this bondage. And the Christ that went down into my heart, even the heart of this earth that's made out of the dust, loose my spirit that was imprisoned to my mind in the first birth of Adam, and this life that was imprisoned, this physical being, Christ loosed it. My body was buried in a watery grave, and my spirit went back to God who gave it by the rent veil of Calvary, as I said, making in Himself twain, both Lord and Christ, bearing the Lord part of the body, and taking Christ and going back to the Heavenly Father. So then today I'm the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. Not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me. And even as the ministry, the Bible said it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. And that all of you shall be taught of God. Let all the world keep silent, for we're the temple of God. And John said this tabernacle of God is in the earth, and God is on the inside of this tabernacle, tutoring all of them, because they all should be taught of God. So then we see the wonderful thing of God, that God heard the groaning of the prisoners. He looked down. He loosed them that was appointed unto death. The time accepted, He succored them, which was the time when He accepted the atonement of the blood, delivered from my offenses, raised again for my justification. In the day of God's acceptation, and those that were in prison under the law, God turned them loose, sending Jesus down to preach to them. Those that waited the long suffering of the days of Noah, saying that this is as the waters of Noah, to me going down into the heart of the earth, He preached to the souls in prison. He loosed them, and history tells us that numbers of people got up out of the grave that had been dead for years and walked around, and people recognized that there were some of the patriarchs of old. So Christ the resurrection lives in our heart today. He hath loosed us. He hath done away with time. Time shall be no more. The angel, Revelation 10 and 7, shall set one foot upon the land and the other foot upon the sea, and his head in the clouds, lift up his hands to heaven, and swear by Him, even the Heavenly Father, that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. So then, in this wonderful moment that we've come to, we see the rent veil, we see Christ, we see the angel with his hand up, we see Christ Jesus, we know that that was Christ, we know that was Paul, we know that there one foot was in the spirit, one foot was in the flesh, the other here up in heaven, and he's swearing by Him that liveth forever and ever, that it is the fullness of time, the end of the world, and time should be no more. So then away we went. He raptured us into the heavens. He caught us up into the heavens. And we're hid with God in Christ. So then we're in heaven. Here we that love the Lord, we have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and death is conquered and over, and time is gone. So then I say again that God does this in the spirit for the spiritual Jew, and when all of this is finalized and the great finale of the things of God comes, then when we recognize this, then when this is preached, then when this goes into the church, and then when this is preached in all the world for a witness, the gospel of the kingdom, the law and the prophets shall John, then the kingdom message. When this kingdom message is preached in all the world for witness, everybody that is of God, everybody that is a true Christian, everybody that is the predestinated begins to believe. They begin to believe. And the Bible said as many as were ordained unto eternal life, they believe. And all of them that was before of old ordained unto eternal life, all of them to whom it was given before the world ever was to have their names wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, all of a sudden they're believers and they're there. And every one of them, down to the last one of them, begins to realize that they belong to God. And they say, oh my God, all the struggle's over. I've ceased from my own works. I've accepted His works. It's His body and His works. And my spirit is sealed with the Holy Spirit and Satan can't touch me. And I'm up here in heaven in my spirit. My body's buried. And I'm no longer in the world, and here I am in heaven, and the thing is taking place, and God has raptured the church, translated the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven, for God is making you to sit together in these wonderful heavenly places. And then when we come to the recognition of this, all of a sudden, in comes the Jew. Then appears the sign of the Son of Man. Then comes the change of the body. Then comes Thessalonians change. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as to change us into His body, into His bone, into His flesh, into His likeness. And there we stand without spot, without blemish. Nothing wrong with us. And we're caught right up to be with Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then with that we ride over as the ark. Ride right on over. Right over the tribulation period and come down over there in the millennium, sit down there, and the 12 apostles on thrones. For John said, I saw thrones and I saw them that sat upon them. And Jesus sitting there on the throne, and we just riding right up over that tribulation period, coming down on that new world like the ark did with Noah, and coming out on that side over there in that wonderful millennium of God. So then we see that God has done this thing for us. He hath loosed them souls in prison. Now, I said that to say this. Right at this very moment, as to a present day truth, as to the stride of the Spirit, as to determining whether or not this is right, or looking at it in this perspective, as to say, now is the time. When we look and we see PTL falling, and we see 700 Club falling, we wrote the letter to Jim Baker, to Tammy, wrote the letter to Pat Robinson. We warned them and said God would take them down. So He did. We look around and we see the head of this thing. Even the Billy Graham thing. Over there where Jim had taken the house of Billy over in the Carolinas. Moved it over to this place, whatever it is, Heritage Village. Restored the thing, put it back up. Billy comes on the scene, tell him what a great thing it is. You know, showing even Billy that has to do with the head of this thing. There's a Protestant head, there is a Catholic head, and there is a Jewish head. And over here it's Billy. And over there with those that are overseas, it's the papacy. And over beyond that, it is the rabbi. It is those over there, which really the true head is the Lord Jesus. But anyway, they rejected their head, they died. So we see a beautiful thing in this. Much we could say concerning the two prophets and what's happening right now. But let me say this right here at this point. How do you remember when Paul Jr., said that God gave him a vision and showed him that Pat Robinson and that Jim Baker was the two prophets. See, it had a great spiritual significance as to time, for he surely was wrong in what he said. But nevertheless, it had a great symbolic meaning. Look at PTL. Jim Baker has led millions of people right into the slaughter, and just as the goat leads them in and jumps out, all of them to die, right there, Jim jumped out and left them right there. Orwell has done the same thing. Jim let them all in, charismatic. Don't have to be holiness. The Bible said without holiness, no man would see the Lord. For God is the Spirit of holiness. And the Bible said be holy in body and in spirit, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. So then, here Jim, he leads them. Where did he lead them to? To Mr. Fowell, the Baptist Church. and turned them over to him. What did Oral do? Oral took their money, done the same thing from Pentecost. He belonged to the Pentecostal Holiness Church. He led them straight from there into the Methodist Church. Now, see, going backwards, I told you, I said, God is going to take those men down right away. I said, he's not going to do that. I said, because if he does, he'll kill all the little babies. I said, he has to let them go on until he can get the baby's eyes open a little bit. And then he'll reach out and he'll get his little ones. And then he'll cut all those things down just like a vine. Brother Terrell led him right over here. And here it was. Brother Terrell went on with the women preachers and this kind of thing. And I believe he was a fine man, just like Jim Bacon and many others. Went right on with the women preachers, knowing better than to do it. And the different things, and went right straight on. Finally, we spoke of the end of his ministry, that it was at hand, and down it went. Same way with some of the others, that we spoke of them the same way. Spoke of Brother Walden, how that Brother Walden would go right on and mess right around and get into that money click and into that thing, and he went right on and done it. And you know how that he published that picture, or those pictures of George Foreman, the boxer, in his shorts. Nothing on but just his boxing trunks. Brother Walden published it. And I said, that's a devil that would do that. That's, you say, Brother Walden's a devil? I said it was a devil that would publish that paper. That was evil and wretched. It was a devil. We're holiness. We're godly. And we're preaching against nudeness. And he's a holiness preacher. And I said, and George Foreman wasn't straight, even though George Foreman come along, not knowing too much about it, and Pentecostal should have taught him better. But because he was a public figure, they used that. And what happened a few days ago, we read where George Foreman turned away from his preaching, said he couldn't make enough money in that, went back to boxing and was pounding the bag when the reporters caught him. See, I'm just saying this, folks. All of that is a web. We're preaching the casting out of Lucifer at this time. We're preaching the casting out, the going out of the lights. He wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars and cast them down to the earth. The casting out of Lucifer. We've been preaching this for a good long while. And we said, and this is in the second heaven. Of the thunders, we brought it out. That through the thunders, while we're here, the hot and the cold clouds. We brought it out about the dark and the light clouds, while the black and the white are trying to mix at this time. And all of this war and all this problem, we brought it out in symbols and type. Not that God is respect a person, but that God uses the black man and God uses the white man and God uses the yellow man and God uses the red man. And so then at this time it is the casting out of Lucifer, it's the going out of the lights. For the Bible said God set the lights in the heavens for signs and for seasons. And there is a natural heaven and there is a spiritual heaven and there is a physical heaven. And here in this heaven where Lucifer is, which is the second heaven, which is the religious heaven, the thing where people have the rain upon them, as it was in the garden, Adam and Eve had the rain upon them. They wasn't born to the Shekinah, but they were in the presence of the Shekinah. As to the rain being on them, they can speak in tongues, they can dance, they can do anything. Women can get up and preach, men can do anything. Doesn't make any difference. Even the devil himself can, in this time, transformate himself as to his mind and an angel of light. That is, he can be religious and quote the scripture as he did to Jesus. That's an angel of light. See, he comes in with a religious mind and he quoted the scripture verbatim. And the Bible said his ministers, even the ministers themselves, they're devils, but the Bible said his ministers can transformate themselves by the renewing of their mind, Paul said, to be therefore transformed. They can, through the time of the grace, the rain on the unjust, they can transform themselves like Saul did when Saul reflected that thing over there and began to prophesy so much they thought he was a prophet. And they can reflect that and begin to prophesy. They can do all of these things. They can have the gifts working. Even work miracles. The Bible speaks of those three unclean spirits like frogs that came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, whatever. And they went out through all the world working miracles to gather the people together to the great battle of the Armageddon thing of the blood running up to the horse's bridle. So then in this hour, see, this thing is taking place and the war is coming on now. Star war. The war is coming on. The battle is on now. Who is a Christian? When you look at the church, when you look at those that are sitting around you, when you have your great tent meetings, when you have your great meetings in your auditoriums or in the churches, And you're looking around. Who is the Christians? See, who is the Christians? Who are those clouds with silver linings? Who are those dark clouds with intellectual reasoning of fury and temper and covetousness of the world? Who are these? They're warring against each other now. They begin to battle with each other. They didn't do that before. But the hour of the rent veil is here, see? And now they're beginning to war against each other, trying to determine who is who. And what is it? It's the man-child. He's going up to the third heaven now. See, he's leaving that second heaven, which is the second mind of this religious activity of the indoctrination as to the Word. And he's coming into the spiritual revelation, and he's going up into heaven now. As he goes up into heaven, he's ruling with a rod of iron. You can't have the ball games. You can't put in the pool tables. You can't go with the sport page. You can't be in the frolics of the world. You can't wear your lipstick and powder in your pants and all of these kind of things. And Pete Thiel has to go out. And down goes the devil. Down goes Lucifer. Down goes these religious things. Down goes that great web all around. And sticky fingers are there. Sticky fingers. And this man over here, he looks like he's been doing all right. But when Pete Thiel goes down, he's stuck. He can't get his paw loose. And all of a sudden here runs the papers over here because he's had sticky fingers. He's got stuck. Over here there's another minister. And over there's another minister. And finally it reflects this minister and that minister and this minister and all the other ministers. Why? Why is that? Why is that? Like one of the great leading evangelists put Oral Roberts down and said, there he is over there in the prayer tower and he's crying out, if God doesn't give me money, he's going to kill me, you know. If I can't get money, he said, he's doing all of this in the name of the Lord. And I thought, yes, and you're over there criticizing him. When you yourself won't preach the name of the Lord in baptism, won't hold up the name of the Lord, and you're doing the same thing by reaching out and getting money too. The very same thing. Those men that will not stand up for baptism in Jesus' name, that will not stand up for the name of the Lord and preach the name of the Lord as to burial and water baptism, those men are not right with God. It doesn't matter how big they get, how much television popularity they have, they are not right with God and they will come down. You can say amen or shut up, I'll preach right on. So then God is going to bring them down. Not one of them, but every one of them. I have sometimes you to rebel against me. I tell my wife these things a lot of times. Sometimes I'm scrutinized. Sometimes I'm put down. Sometimes, you know, they look at me like this. This man is doing this little thing over here. You say, but look at all the good things he's doing, Brother Pike. I know, but the pie's no good because it's got a worm in it. It's got a hair in it. I don't want it. See, God said, bring me an offering without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Those things are good for the world. You say, Brother Pike, aren't those good things? Ain't they doing some good things? Sure, the Woodmans of the world are doing good things. The Masons are doing good things. They bring little children bicycles at Christmas time. The welfare is doing good things. Keep people from starving to death. So we're going to take them all to heaven. You know better than that. See, God will reward them in this world. Those men will get millions and hundreds of millions and fame and popularity and all these kind of things. And then when they stand before God, God will say you've had your reward. You people that are getting your riches and everything else, God will say you had your reward. You didn't share with me. You didn't give me nothing. You just done your thing. You had your own program. So they say, but I give the poor. I give to the poor. The Bible said in that day they'll say that you stood in our streets and you taught. Lord, don't you remember we cast out devils in your name and we've done all these great things? And God said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So then, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying the web is coming down now. God is killing the spider. And the web is coming down, this great web of PTL and all these things. People have been caught in it. They've been caught in it. Somebody said, you ought to not talk like that. But I do. Praise God, I do. And I just keep on in spite of the fact that you say ought not. And the great web is beginning to come down all over the world. It's like I said of Brother Oral Roberts. God doesn't even think like Oral Roberts said, let alone talk like that. As a matter of fact, seeking money, the Bible comes contrary to it. To this point it said, and thou, O man of God, flee these things and lay hold on eternal life. For many following after these things have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Fight the good fight of faith.
When we look for prestige, when we look for these things, sure, it works good. Works real good. Somebody said, well, I favor PTL, and I give my support to PTL. I do this. Why do you do that? Well, it fits what you're doing. You want to be out there in the world. You want to be Mr. Big with a title. You want to mess around with the world, and you want to be in part in incorporated in the things of Babylon, part of Babylon. So you want to be out there in it, and the real religion of holiness and godliness and the Word of God and cleaning up, it doesn't fit you. So naturally you lean to that carnal-minded thing because you're carnal-minded. And when the web goes down, you go down. So then we see the casting out of Lucifer. We see the fullness of time. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and Calvary brought Lucifer down in the death, overthrew Lucifer, and the web is broken. The web is gone. It's been pulled down. And now all of them, there was a little sticky, you know, toward the money and the fame and the popularity and these things, they've got caught in the web. So then they're trying to get their paw off. You ever seen a fly? A fly, he'll just buzz and he'll do everything he can, but it's too late. He's got his paws on it and he can't get loose. I've seen him just buzz and come up like that, you know, and the web would just come up with him. And then the web would just take him right back down. And just keep on till it wears him out. And that's it. You know, when I talked to the Lord, I thought, now, Lord, what'll happen with Jim Baker? They'll turn right back around, and them people, knowing what he confessed and knowing the things that's been done, they'll turn and follow him hard. Because like I told some of the brethren today, I said he's their leader. Like when Jesus went down, the Jews went down. When Jim goes down, they go down. So they're not going to turn loose. And sure enough, James brought me a paper just right after we talked, Brother Bill. Brought me a paper and a big congregation behind Jim there in this big place and said, no matter what, we're standing with Jim Baker. See? Caught in the web. They can't get out. They done put their money there. They done put their time there. They done put their lives there. They've done give their all their life pledge as to their $15 a week or whatever it is to the 700 Club and all these kind of things. And they get to go to Heritage Village free. And they're going to lose all of that. See? And I made the statement. I said, Jerry Falwell can't turn that into the Baptist because these people that are out there that's in between the denomination and these things is called the charismatic. I said, they're not going to support it. And my Joseph came in today and said, sure enough, some of the people in the areas of Charlotte or North Carolina, one of the churches that majorly been behind PTL said, we are not going to support that with Jerry Falwell and the Baptist Church. We want our money back. Send and get our money back. See, so it isn't going to work. Jerry knows it isn't going to work. That's why Jerry said what he did. Jerry said that because Jerry Falwell knows that if he gets involved in that and then the thing falls, it's going to make him look like Jim Baker, that he's not able to carry it on. So this is where we're at right now. The great web is falling. Why? Because time shall be no more. The world is at an end. The lights are coming down. Lucifer in that religious realm, that second heaven, he's wrapping his tail around the stars. You say, why the tail, Brother Pike? Because the head of it has to be smitten there in the garden. And from that time, you know the old saying, his tail dies when the sun goes down. And there at Calvary is to the going down, way over here in the end time, the last part of the old serpent that's on his belly, which is these people that are beast or that generation of vipers. See the tail, the old intellectual tree of knowledge, wrapping the tail around just before death, bringing them down to the earth. See, bringing them down to the earth. Nobody that's a true Christian is ever going to have any more confidence in them. That ends PTL. That ends all these other fellows. They're coming to the front and people are going to be afraid. And they're going to see this and they're going to run for their life. And the real Christians are going to begin to come together. Because we predicted that those lights would go out, gross darkness would cover the people, that the tail would cast the stars down, that Lucifer had been cast out there at Calvary and Revelation 12 coming in would show it. And all these things would come to a grand final or finale at the end time, and here we would find ourselves right here in the middle of all of this, watching it and seeing it all happen. And the Bible said it would fall all around us and wouldn't come nigh our dwelling. Look at it. It's hit the assemblies of God. The assemblies of God's right in it. The assemblies of God, one time a great move of God, but now it's a religious activity of the world. And here it is. Old Roberts and the others have took people from Pentecost, and the ends, the ones that are not sincere, and a lot of the others have got mixed up in it, those that are not sincere, they've got into the way of, and he's caught the religious world and led all of them into this thing that we're speaking of. So then I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. I'm glad that I'm loose from that. I'm glad that I didn't get into the well. I'm glad that I'm on God's side.
Amen.
So then, still having the victory in Christ, seeing all of these things fall around, still able to lift my hands up and say, hallelujah, glory to God, thy grace is sufficient, Lord. Not holding up for women preachers and not holding up for false teachings, but preaching the gospel and going on with the light of God and telling the things of God, and the day star is dawning and the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter and breaking forth in my heart and your heart as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ dawning within the heart. The brightness of that coming is destroying the perverted image. God is destroying the image and the web is coming down. They sing that song, Satan, your kingdom is coming down. So then it's coming down. All of these great lights are falling, coming out of the second heaven. And God is catching the man-child up to the third heaven. Because where there's no grace, there is no second heaven. And the church can't stay in the second heaven anymore. God gave grace, and this is how the devil got in. Through, the Bible said, through the weakness of my flesh, Paul said, my flesh being weak, and that which was life, even the law, became death unto me. And so then through Calvary, through the restrictions of God, through the things that God demanded of us as to being perfect, the devil got in. He got his chance to condemn us and bring in condemnation, and infiltration came in. That is, through the grace of God. God having to give grace to preserve us because of the restrictions in that the law accused us, that is by the mouth of Satan. Then grace came, and when the grace came, the devil moved in because the rain went down on the unjust, that is those that are on their belly, even the generation of vipers. God had to give a grace. And Satan, in the heart of those unbelievers, has turned the grace of God into ball games and everything else into lasciviousness. Doing their own thing, but all of a sudden, it's coming to light now. And this grace is going to lift. And the blood is going to come off of the seat of atonement. And then the devil's going to find himself in that same human body without any rain on him, without any grace on him, without any blessings. And he's going to find himself standing in a darkness, in a world of chaos and sorrow. But you and I, with this great light that's turning on within our heart, coming within our heart as to the day star shining more and more to that perfect day, that is revealing to us more and more that we're perfected by the works of the Lord Jesus. As to the greater light, by faith to purification, we're moving on from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And as we move on into this, we're caught up into the third heaven. Because the second heaven is here, and Lucifer is here, and the church is here. And there really isn't any second heaven except by the pouring out of the Spirit as to grace. So all of a sudden, when the blood comes off, up goes the man-child in the third heaven. Down goes Lucifer into the mind of darkness, and he cannot be a reflector anymore. All the stars in the natural that are reflectors, as scientists say, will be cast out. And the moon will turn to blood. It will become a big ball of fire, as we say. Blood in one rim, fire in another rim. Light in another rim. So we see this, that it's the end of the world. They've gone up now, they've looked over. And the astronauts have seen the end of the world. And they've looked around and they've seen that great abyss. That they can't find any bottom to, any sides to, any top to. There's nothing out there for them to find walls to anymore. And this little thing called the world, this little old ball is floating around, and the earth is cracked all to pieces. Brother James brought me some maps down the bottom of the ocean. It's cracked all to pieces. All over the world it's cracked like an eggshell. And all it's going to take is just a bursting of those bombs. And when those bombs come, the Bible said such a great earthquake, no such as was never before, even from the beginning of the world. And I saw all of the cities of the nation fall. The cities like New York and London and these great places begin to crumble down and fall to the earth. See, we're right on the verge of all of those things. Many things that we could say, but the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It is within a man. So then, when we see these things, realize what God's doing, we know that he's loosed the prisoners. We know that we are those that dwell in heaven. We know that the world is in a state of chaos now, and the lights are falling. See, which means the second dimension is over. The second heaven is now folding up. The second heaven is ready to pass away. For heaven and earth will pass away. That is the second heaven, not the third heaven. Paul being called into the third heaven, the place where God dwells, has never been contaminated. But the earth having to be burned up because it's contaminated by Lucifer's presence, the second heaven, going before God during the days of Job, it is defiled. God should destroy it. So then, right at this point, Lucifer is ready to be blinded, to have no more healing medicines. The Bible said in them people that love the world, that shun the things of God and scorn God and done their evils, they won't have any healing medicines. They can't run to the doctor and get a shot and stop the pain. They can't go to the dentist and get that pain stopped. There won't be any more healing medicines. The Bible said in death will flee from them. They can't even die and get out of their misery. They'll search for death. It won't be there. For the Bible says that in that day, there won't be any healing medicines. And the sting of the locust will be there. And they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. Because their kingdom will be full of darkness. The beast is kingdom. Even them that are not children of God. Among you are beasts. Among you are spots and blemishes. While you feast on the word of hope and the spirit of charity. These are wells without water. These are raging waves that are foaming out their shame. Stars, reflectors with no light, for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So, the differentiating has come. The dividing has come. The rapture has come. The catching away has come. All these things are moving in. Somebody said, but I don't see this rapture. I know. The Bible said, ye shall not see when good cometh. But the others see it. Well, the Bible said, ye shall know. And he'll not withhold any good thing from them that walk right before him. Like a thief in the night, coming to take the jewels. Once God works this spiritual thing, this great spiritual thing, then the expose. And it all will be revealed. And the great masterpiece that the sculptor has worked on so long will suddenly be revealed to the public. So it is, all spiritual things understood by natural. We see that it's getting close to the climax. And the Bible said, the winter's come, the summer's gone, the winter's come, and the harvest is over, and you're not saved yet. I want you to stand with me. There's many other things that we'd like to say, many other things, even as to the present day occurrence, to make this even more vivid that you might be able to see it. But nevertheless, we've been taking our time, maybe a little lengthy, maybe not taking so long a lot of times to preach a sermon, but in that this goes over the radio and the different parts around the world, the nation, printed page. We've been taking our time, maybe a little lengthy to you, that we might get this out to the public, because many of you that hear it don't understand it, will never get it anyway. You're bonds children. Many of them out there, they'll never get it. They're bonds children. But on the other hand, there are children here that are the free child. They're loose from the bondage of the flesh and the things of this world, and they've broken their minds loose from the responsibilities of life as to be responsible to God. I thought it was a cunning thing that Jim Baker did. The thing that Jim did when Tammy had a little problem and he saw the precious coming, wanting to get loose from PTL because of the responsibility, knowing that he created a monster. You know, everything that you put out there, it's an upkeep. It's going to cost you money. It's one thing to sit there and, you know, be on television and be famous and drawing millions of dollars. It's another thing to have to fix the leak in the roof and fix the door and keep up the grounds and draw millions of dollars and cry and beg for millions of dollars to keep that up. Why, your nerves is breaking. And he saw his chance to get out of it and get out of that responsibility. And he has not told the paper yet, guilty or whatever. See, and he saw his opportunity to get out and leave all of that and still be the famous Jim and still have them followers behind him, no one ever coming, and still get that money and go on and do his thing.
very cunning and very crafty. But there is a day coming. The song said there's a great day coming after a while. What does it say? And the hireling seeth the wolf cometh, and he flees. When the hireling, who is not the shepherd of the sheep, who careth not for the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he flees. That's what Jim did. He run because he was not the shepherd of the sheep. They compromise. They turn to the things of the world. They take the easy way out. Eat, drink. They lounge around. Why? Because they're not the shepherd of the sheep. But the Bible said the shepherd of the sheep loves the sheep. And the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. Real, true ministers, it's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, not them speaking but Christ. Them true shepherds that love the sheep, they'll stay right there. They'll be right there. They can hound them, they can tear them down, they can do whatever they want to. They can mock them, they can make a joke out of them, but he'll stay right there. He won't move because he's the shepherd of the sheep. He giveth his life for the sheep. But when the hireling sees that pressure coming, those nerves breaking down, insanity moving in, all these other things, they flee, they run. When they see the crisis and the problems, they run. God wants your soul, folks. He doesn't want your dollar. You give your dollar, I thank God for it, because we use it for the glory of God. And we try to help get this to somebody else to tell them about this wonderful thing called Jesus. But he's interested in you. The shepherd wants your soul. He wants to lead you to green pastures. And he wants to lead you to the cool, clear waters. He loves you. He wants you. This is the thing that we're interested in, is your soul. That's why we tell you the truth. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. This is why I tell you the truth. I appreciate you. I love you. I want to help you. I'll do anything I can to help you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe. Can you sing it with me again? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Okay, let's sing another chorus or two and worship the Lord for a few minutes and we'll let you go. Okay? Appreciate you being here, especially appreciate our visitors. The different ones, the altars are open now. And we're going to sing these choruses together. Let's sing them together. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Sing it with me now.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. One more time. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now, can you sing it with me one more time? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I now I am happy all the day. The altars are open. If you'd love to come to the altar, we're going to sing another course or two. And you're welcome to come. You love Jesus? Let's sing that course. Oh, how I love Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, so wonderful to me. He is so wonderful because He first loved me. Sing it again then. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning star. And He is the past of 10,000. Everybody ought to everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, sing it again with me. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing like this. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell.
I want you to lift your hands up with me. Do you believe in Jesus? Folks, the end of the world is here. I know that many of you can't see that, and I know you can't understand it, and it's okay, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I don't mean to harass your mind or say anything to you. I know you don't. Even the respond tonight, I can tell that you missed it. And I can tell that you don't see it. And I can tell that it isn't there. Remember when my granddad was dying? Never will forget. Granddad was dying and said somebody come through the window. Told us just before we went away. He said, in come a man through his window. Laying there on the bed. Said the man went over here and he looked. Said he went over this corner and he looked. He looked all around under the bed. Said he looked everywhere, just one place to another. And said finally, he stopped and he said, maybe he shook his head. I believe he said or something. He said, it's not here. And said, out the window he went. And then, well, shortly after that, then my granddaddy went away. My granddaddy had been called to preach. I don't know what happened to my granddad. But he said that he also saw this vision before his death. Said he looked and there was a beautiful lake. Said it was so beautiful. And said flowers was all around it. But, or this beautiful scenery. But it had grown up. And weeds had just watered it up. And he said he looked across the way and over across the lake. He said he saw the Lord Jesus standing there like with high top boots or something. But he said he was standing there. And I believe he said he had a little lamb in his arm. Maybe the staff and some little lambs around his leg. And said he was standing there looking at him. And my granddad said he just didn't understand what it was all about. Whereas it sounded like a neglected life, it sounded like a neglected ministry. He said, then the vision went away. Folks, I hope your life isn't like that. I hope that your life isn't a neglected life or a neglected ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a life to live. And the Bible said if you seek to save your life in this world, that is if you do your thing, have your things that you want, go through life the way you want to, eat and drink the way you want to, plan your life the way you want to. If you seek to save your life in this world, Jesus said, he that seeketh to save his life will lose it. That is in the world to come. But he said, he that is willing to lose his life in this world, that is to give it up, not follow to do his own things and look for his own reputation and his own way of life and his own wealth and convenience. He that is willing to lose his life in this world that I might live in his body and win souls or tell people about eternal life. He that is willing to lose his life for my sake shall gain it, that in the world to come unto eternal life. So then what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? Remember what I told you. While you've got your hands up, while you've got your eyes closed, while you're thinking about the wonderful things of God, the Bible said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. See if you be in the faith. If you're in the faith, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. That means that you have listened to the Word and you've conformed to the Word. And you've repented according to the Word. And you've been filled with the presence of God according to the Word. And you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus according to the Word. And you've done what the Word said. And you're living a holy, godly life, being holy in body and spirit according to the Word. And that you're having your fruits unto holiness according to the Word. And the end thereof, eternal life according to the Word. Faith. Examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word. For the Bible said in the latter times, in the last days, many shall depart from the Word. Or faith, it says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, doing the things of the world, turning to the ball game, the frolics, eating and drinking as there was in the days of Noah, marrying and remarrying and doing all these things. Are you listening to me now? See, there's a lot of believers in the world. But I want to remind you one more time of this. Not too long ago, they published a little article. And it was in the paper. And they said all of the different faiths are coming together. And the Buddhist in their faith is coming together. And the Protestants in their faith is coming together. And the Catholics in their faith are coming together. And all of the faiths are coming together. When I read that little article, I told my audience, I said, that's a lie. That's wrong. I said, there ain't no such thing. The Bible said one faith. I've got that faith. The child of God's got that faith. There ain't no such thing as faith, Brother Dale, coming together. One faith. Christ is faith. See, that's the only faith that can come together is the true God believers. All of that other is heathenistic. And the mere fact that these people would ally with them or walk with them, the Bible said if you walk with somebody, you've got to be agreed with them. See, to withdraw thyself even from a brother if he walks disorderly. Have no fellowship with him. So then, they that do the evils of the world don't even so much as eat with them. So, there's but one faith. See if you're in the faith tonight. That faith is by the hearing of the word. Many shall depart from the faith. Many shall believe there's a God. But if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. But that won't get you anywhere. Just believing won't get you anywhere. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his. And if you have his spirit, then you live like him. You talk like him. You think like him. You walk like him. You are like him. You honor his word. And who does God give his spirit to? He said, I give my spirit to them that obey me. Them that obey me. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't obey him. If you obey him, you would have the Holy Ghost. And to honor his word, keep my commandments. Do his bidding. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as is written of me, O God, to do thy will. This is the will, the volume of the book. The volume of the book. Examine yourselves tonight. See if you be in the faith. I'm going to let you go. But I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes. I want to sing that little song while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed. Time will be no more. I know many of you don't understand. Even the boy that came last night, one of them looked at me. He said, hey, he said, you're trying to do away with time. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more.
For the angel shall stand on the sea, and all land and time shall be no more. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land, time shall be no more, and death shall be no more, no more, and death shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land, and death shall... Can you sing that again? And death shall be no more, no more, and death shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land, and death shall be no more. You know, I used to work at a funeral home. I never did work there very long, but while preaching, you do a whole lot of things, and it come around to something to where this fellow had left the funeral home, and I just happened to be nearby, and they worked me right in. And sometimes in the morning, I would go to the funeral home, and there'd be a corpse in here. They don't like for you to say corpse, you know, when you work at a funeral home. They say his remains. There'd be a remain in here. There'd be a corpse over here and a corpse over here. I'd find them all over the place. Dead folks over the weekend, you know. Or sometimes over the night, I have had this to happen. Over in the night, you'd just be sleeping away, you know. And hear the telephone ring, 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 because you're on duty all the time. Got to get over here, got to get over here. Somebody's dead. Dead tonight. Found him dead in the bed. And you go over there, you know. Families all tore up. Mamas tore up. Daddies tore up. Little children tore up. Everybody's running around. And they don't know what to do. You know, you always have an answer. You can always do something. You know, everything that happens, you can always do something. But when death comes, nobody can do nothing. And they're there, and they're wringing their hands, and they're crying. They want you to do something, you know. And all you can do is ease in there. Ease him out, you know. And somebody talking to the family while you're doing it. And that's what the beauty of this thing is, that Jesus done away with that horrible thing called death. See, death didn't come by God. Death never come by God. When God created man, he didn't put death there. He wanted man to be happy. But see, he said, I come that you might have life and that more abundant, even Jesus is to the restoration, to redeem us from death. But death came by man. Man wouldn't listen. Man said, I'd rather eat and drink. I'd rather frolic. I'd rather go to the ball games. I'm talking about present day truth. I'd rather do this. I'd rather have my own. I'd rather save my money. I'd rather be this. I'd rather have an education. I'd rather be a president. I'd rather be an entertainer, you know. So God says, okay, to be carnally minded is death. You're dead. They that live in pleasure are dead while they live. And the Bible said some twice dead and plucked up by the root, which means you're dead in your spirit and you've crossed over and you can't even get saved. So, this is horrible. But the preacher preaches on. He prays and he says, oh Lord, don't cut the tree down. And the Bible said, and the keeper of the vineyard came and the keeper of the trees came and said, what is this tree doing here? I don't see any fruit on this tree. Jesus, as he passed by the fig tree, says, henceforth and forever, no more fruit on this tree. They said, cut it down. The keeper pleaded the cause in the vineyard according to the parable and said, don't cut it down. He said, give me just one more year to work around it. He said, if it doesn't bring forth fruit, then you can cut it down. And the preacher, he's always praying, you know, for his own little family.
and praying for his spiritual family and praying for them that are without. The Bible said making intercession that God might grant repentance to them that are without. Holy priesthood, you know. And always saying, don't cut it down. Give it a little longer. I've done that so many times to people. And God gave it a little longer. He gave it a little longer because I prayed. And then I'd hear him so clear. He'd say, cut that tree down. Why cumbereth it the ground? I gave it longer, and there's still not any fruit. And then the axeman lays the axe to the root of the tree. For the Bible said that judgment begins at the house of God. Whoever the minister blesses is blessed. Whoever he curses is cursed. He lays the axe to the root of the tree. John came, laid the axe to the root of the tree, and the old tree of knowledge all the way back to the garden was cut out to bring in a new tree, even the second man Adam, the tree of life, and his generation. So then, the minister, the Bible said he is God's revenger, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Will you not be afraid, even for conscience' sake? If you do that which is good, you don't have to be afraid. But he's set there to cut you down or to work around you. And God said to the prophet of old, said, I've set thee over the nations. That is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I've set you over the nations to plant and to pluck up. And that's what we do. We preach repentance because we're planting. At the same time, beloved friend, we're also plucking up. Some that heard this sermon tonight, some that will hear this sermon will be plucked up after that they've heard this sermon. They won't come to the earth and eat and drink like the old serpent on his belly. All of his labor for his belly because his belly craves it of him. All for his mouth. See, just to take God's world and to take God's body and to take God's life and to take God's time and all of these other things. They won't do that. See, to do this and just to live it up in the world, they won't be able to do this. God will cut them down. And then these other trees that are planted, few, so few that are chalk in number, he'll say, little flock, enter into the joys of the Lord that was prepared for thee from the foundation of the world, given thee in Christ before the world ever was. Enter in, little flock, for it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. So many times we went in and there was death. I took men to the hospital and they'd say, Brother Pye, you're not going to leave me here. You're not going to leave me here. I'm going to be all right, ain't you, Brother Pye? I said, I'm praying for you. But we'd come back, take them out the back door. Bring them in the front door alive, take them out the back door. Take them to the morgue. And time shall be no more. No more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land. Time shall be. No more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no one more time. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. I want to say it one more time, and we're going to ask Brother Jerry Lambert to come down here and dismiss us if he will. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand
on the sea and the land, time shall be no more.
The fullness of time, Calvary. And today we're comprehending the heights. We're comprehending what took place back there. By stripes you were healed, and in the day of your birth you comprehend. And then you receive your healing. How beautiful are the things of God, and how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that tell us that a Savior is born. Brother Jerry just come back from the Dove, down from the boat. He's been down there working. David was telling me that a wonderful worker. He's come back. I'm going to get him to pray with you tonight. And as we leave and go our way, and you leave and go your way, maybe again we'll see each other. Maybe again we might not. This might be the last time. But remember, the words that I've spoken to you are those that God has given me. And in the day of the judgment, I'll be standing there and you'll be standing there. The Bible said there shall be a resurrection even of the wicked after the millennium. Though the wicked live not again till the 1,000 years was finished, after the millennium they will come forth at the great white throne of judgment. And I'll be standing there and you'll be standing there. I won't be standing there to be judged. I won't be standing there for God to decide whether or not I'm a Christian. We go up before the tribulation and go through the 1,000 years millennium reigning and ruling and loving Him and Him loving us. And at the end, the great white throne of judgment, the saints shall judge the world. And we'll be standing there to judge you. Judgment having begun at the house of the Lord. And those as to who has not had their sins remitted. We'll be there. We'll meet you there. If we never see you again, we'll meet you there. So you remember that. As you bow your heads and lift up your hands tonight, Brother Jerry's coming to pray the closing prayer. Brother Jerry.